Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Orlando Magic Daily Podcast. We are here on, I guess it's Saturday, January 22nd, day after another crushing loss for this team, as they've now lost 9 of 10 games in January. Just past the midpoint season, now at game 42. And so it feels like a good time to talk about where the Magic are at and what might be in store for the rest of the season, and then kind of get a good checkup on everything going on with the Orlando Magic. And to do that, I'm joined once again by Orlando Magic Daily co-editor Brett Roberts. Brett, how are you doing today? Have you recovered from last night's debacle?
No, I haven't. I watched the Hornets again tonight, and yeah, I'm not a Knicks fan or anything, but I'm becoming a Porzingis fan, and they just took Porzingis in the Knicks down too. So good things happening in Charlotte. It was a pity it had to start with us.
Yeah, it really was, but you know, you kind of see what confidence will do for a team. I think that's the big lesson from that. You could just kind of feel, I mean, obviously you weren't in the building last night, well, like I was, but you could feel a lot of the confidence just swelling for the Hornets as they were coming back into that game. And a lot of it had to do with Kemba Walker and all the great things that he was able to do getting into the lane. But you know, I said this in the recap podcast last night. It really felt like it was on the Magic to make a stop. Obviously, you have a 19-point lead at home. You're doing everything right, and all of a sudden, you just kind of click it off, or you can't quite execute the same way. And it was really hard to figure out exactly what happened. Can you put a finger on why things seemed to turn the other way for the Magic on Friday night?
Well, I mean, in that game, the defense was just horrendous from both sides.
Yes,
you know?
Absolutely. I think that was something that got lost.
All-star exhibition of guys just going out and scoring. So to say that I had any real kind of observations from that game that I would say are extremely valid and durable or anything that you can really project, no, not so much. I mean, the Magic were playing horrible defense. Charlotte was playing horrible defense. Nicholas Batum wasn't even playing, and he frequently gives the Magic headaches. So that's just not a good sign, Phil, when you're not even beating Charlotte without the guy that's basically been having their best season for him, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's just generally not been a good sign all month. You know, again, it was another game where Scott Skiles said, I mean, we didn't compete for stretches of the game. And that's that part to me is the most unacceptable at all. I wrote about it in my sidebar after the game. You know, it feels like the team is getting really tight in those moments when they're getting pressured. And it feels like they just can't take a punch from other teams. I mean, we've seen it time and time again during this losing streak. They play in Toronto. They play against Detroit. They took a punch early and never were in that game. They took a punch, you know, against the Raptors in the second quarter and recovered well, but, you know, too late. They didn't play for a half and that put them in too deep of a hole. They took a punch in Atlanta and had no chance. Philadelphia gave them a punch, and they were pretty much down for the count until they got desperate late in the fourth quarter. Again, too little, too late. And again, on Friday night, Charlotte punched them, and the team was just never the same. It's the frustrating thing to me is the team's just not showing growth in this area. They're not showing this resiliency that we thought that they'd not mastered, but were showing a little bit in the early parts of the season. So, you know, it's something that just continues to come up again and again, that this team is just not displaying the traits that they had earlier in the season. And so frustration has really grown that they can't, they're not playing the same way. We know they can play a certain way and they're not doing it. And I mean, I don't know what else do you see that's just kind of baffling with this team differently.
Well, you know, one thing I was keying in on early in the year, if you remember in our last podcast, maybe in December even, I'm not sure when, was that the Magic really hadn't been winning close games. But, you know, looking at this last losing streak, they lost to Washington by 12, they lost to Cleveland by 25, they lost to Detroit by 26, Indiana by 9, Washington again by 6, and then lost by 9 again to Philadelphia last night, Atlanta by 17. These weren't close games. The Magic have not been in all these games and losing in overtime as they did in Toronto and Charlotte, well, in London, but against Toronto. So, no, it's not just a matter of, oh, we got to execute better down the stretch or something like that. They have to get back in games. They're not even playing competitively.
I think a big thing is there's just been this huge drop off, and it's a lot of the Magic's key players are just not playing well, and you know, we were kind of talking before we got on the air about, you know, taking guys away from team and what teams and what happens to them, but with this Magic team, it's more their best players are not playing well, and Skiles said this at the beginning of the season, and I think we all kind of sensed this without a true all-star primary option type guy, that this team's margin for error, particularly on offense, was really thin. That they needed to be playing really well together and to be staying within the system to give themselves a chance to win ball games consistently, to be in games and to win. And right now, I think Vucevic is probably playing his worst basketball this season. Elfrid Payton, since he came back from injury, has not looked the same. And really, since he got hurt in the first place, has not looked the same. Evan Fournier is in a shooting slump right now. That's obviously got him coming off the bench for now. Tobias Harris has kind of been missing in action. I mean, really, the only two players that are playing really well are Victor Oladipo and Aaron Gordon. And Aaron Gordon's not going to score you a lot of points and kind of keep the ball and maybe keep the ball moving in the same way that an Evan Fournier would, or Nikola Vucevic would, or Tobias Harris would. Even Victor Oladipo is not necessarily the greatest passer in the world, although he does do a lot of that too. It's just been a weird time for this team, where they're offensively they're not getting their best, and defensively they're not, certainly not playing to their best either.
It's a very complicated thing to diagnose exactly what's going wrong with this team. And it's not just that the team's too young. There's enough viable pieces on this team. But it seems like, and it might just be my observation, that guys are starting to play for numbers now. And we didn't see any of that early in the year when everybody was averaging 15 points a game, you know, to be oversimple about it. But, you know, I don't want to think that Nikola Vucevic is stepping back and thinking, now I have 20 if I make this shot, or anything like that. But certainly the ball movement hasn't been anything close to what it was earlier in the season.
Yeah, and you mentioned that, and that was something actually Scott Skiles, I think, brought up last night after the loss of the Hornets in his press conference. He said, you know, it kind of felt like sometimes guys were saying, oh, it's my turn, I'm going to, you know, go get mine, when, you know, if you run the offense correctly, the ball is going to find you at some point during the game to help you supposedly get yours in that sense. And, you know, I think about that a little bit, and I do think there is some merit to it. I don't think it's from a necessarily selfish standpoint. I think a lot of the problems in the last, you know, 3 weeks now with the Magic is there's just this desire to do better, and they're trying to force it. That everyone, like, there are a lot of guys who feel a lot of responsibility on this team that just are trying to will this team to that level again, but they're trying to do it on their own a little too much. And yes, teams have been taking them a little bit out of their offense, and they're not passing as sharp, which I think is really key to this offense, is making a crisp, clean pass, making a firm, sure catch, and moving immediately off the catch. You can't let the ball slow down in that sense. You got to keep it moving just to get the defense to move and react rather than letting them get set. But, you know, I sense that the team is trying to force their way back into good play, and that's not how you're going to do it, obviously. You've got to do it together. You got to do it within the system that's been set up, or within the offense that's been set up, and you can't worry that you're not going to get yours, or that it's not going to come around to you, or try and force it in that way. It's been rough this stretch, because there isn't a clear-cut alpha right now. There isn't a clear-cut guy to turn the ball to and get things done. And, you know, I think the two games that maybe the Magic had the best chance of winning were two games that Victor Oladipo played really, really well and seemed to become that type of guy. And so maybe Oladipo coming back to his earth, so to speak, is a good sign for the Magic and their offense that it can right the ship. But at the same time, I still feel like the defense is a much bigger issue for them.
I guess what really strikes me is I'm not sure how you go to right this ship. I'm not sure what changes Scott Skiles can try that he hasn't already tried. that are really going to turn things around at this point, you know. And then I don't know if that's an overwhelmingly pessimistic thought, but maybe this roster is not a, you know, a playoff roster yet. And maybe that's even too easy to tell at this point. But what tinkering do you begin to make with the roster? What kind of moves need to happen? Because you and I have talked before, can this team win with Vucevic as its starting center? Can it win with Elfrid Payton and Oladipo starting in the backcourt? It seems there's some construction mistakes in the roster and the nucleus of this team.
You know, I think these are the very questions that the Magic wanted to answer last year but couldn't because of just massive failures everywhere in a lot of different places. But, you know, I think the general consensus was the coaching just did not rise to a level to put the players in positions to succeed. So we didn't learn a lot about this roster that maybe we wanted to learn entering the season to help the team make decisions on guys. They're trying to learn that now. And maybe that's the thing that they've learned is, okay, how do these players fit? They obviously don't fit perfectly. They're still missing something. So how do we get that thing that we're missing? Who are we willing to give up to get that thing? Who must we keep? Who are untouchable guys? And, you know, I think as the season's gone on, it's been pretty clear that, A, no one on the roster should be completely untouchable, that everyone on the roster can be attained. But B, also that, you know, there's still some good players on this team. And, you know, it may be an imperfect fit, but I think they proved through the first quarter of the season that they can play at a playoff level. They can play at a pretty good level of play and make the playoffs. They've just got to show that consistency. And, you know, I think the biggest mistake that was made in constructing this roster was not bringing in a veteran to kind of show them the way, grab them by the shirt collar at times and bring them along with him to a victory. This team is, you know, and for all intents and purposes, has never won in the NBA. They, you know, winning 20, 25 games is part of the rebuilding process, and it's a tough part of the rebuilding process. But now you've got guys who are expecting a lot more from themselves, have experienced a little bit of success in a limited sense, but they've never dealt with going through these struggles and coming through them. The self-doubt that's going on in this locker room right now is, frankly, a very real self-doubt, I think, and they need some way to pull through it. And the hole's only going to get deeper until they do. And I think that's the big thing that's missing is just a general veteran presence to calm them down and get them running their stuff rather than pressing the way that they have.
Right.
I mean, you know, with the trade deadline coming up in about a month, you know, Rob Hennigan does have a lot of big decisions to make. He does have a lot of options to make. Losing the last two games that they lost are not a good look for this team, and certainly should not inspire confidence. You know, you lose to Philadelphia, and Philadelphia is playing a lot better than they were before, and right now is playing better than the Magic, no doubt about it. Losing to Philadelphia on your home floor when you absolutely need a win, it felt like a must-win game. It's completely unacceptable, especially the way that they played that game, lacking a lot of energy, lacking a lot of fire, kind of sleepwalking through that game. Losing a 19-point lead at home against an injury-riddled Charlotte team, a team you're fighting off to stay ahead of in the standings. With tonight's win over the Knicks, the Hornets are now tied with the Magic for fourth place in the Southeast Division. So the Magic, you know, are essentially no longer out of the quote-unquote basement of their own division. Mm-hmm. It's those kind of games are, again, a team in your weight class, you've got to beat that team. You had him down, you got to put him away. And again, it felt like a must-win game with this road trip coming up, with the schedule toughening in February and March. It was a huge missed opportunity. And so, you know, there should be a lot of questions being asked to this team. But getting back to the trade deadline point, with the deadline coming up, you know, the Magic have two competing interests to weigh here. And it's their long-term future, which they clearly care a lot about, and trying to build up to a championship team. And do we just make a move to make this team better for the playoffs, and try to make the playoffs? Can we make a move that improves our long term, but also keeps us in position to go for the postseason this year? And that's a big question for sure too, because you know you're going to have to give up something to get something significant in return. So what are you willing to give up?
I mean, it can't be too skewed in any one direction. You're not going to lease this season off to make the playoffs when it's going to screw you long term. You know, that's not in play.
That's not smart.
And yet, at the same hand, if you can make a move that would strengthen the team just enough to make the playoffs without taking too much of a hit long term, you know, hedging your bets, if it works out favorably, you do it. If it doesn't, it doesn't. That said, I'm not sure what move could be made that on a single play, you know, acquire one for one trade or a two for two trade that is instantly going to render the Magic a playoff contender. You know, and the players that other teams are going to want are going to be the ones that we want to give up the least. That's just logic, you know? So, you know, until we start hearing about some potential rumors and some players that are definitely on the market, I don't even know where to begin to look at that problem, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, I think the obvious guy is Evan Fournier. With his struggles now, he's kind of come back down to earth from his hot start. You don't really know what his value is going to be on the market. But at the same time, I do think he's a really good kind of secondary piece where, you know, there's a lot of guys on this Magic team who need the ball. I don't think Evan's a guy that necessarily needs the ball to be effective on the offensive end because of the way he spaces the floor. And that's obviously something the Magic really need. Then again, you make that decision, that trickles down the roster. You got, now what do you do with Victor Oladipo? Now what do you do about Mario Hezonja coming up? How much are you really willing to spend to keep Evan Fournier? You know, these are big questions that the Magic knew they'd have to answer. These aren't, I mean, it's not like these are surprises that the Magic would have to answer these questions, but these are questions that the Magic knew they'd have to answer and would, you know, would have to address. Maybe they didn't think it would be quite in this way. And I think that's kind of where this season has kind of gone. It's really been a tale of two quarters of the season almost, because it's not quite been a quarter of the season that the Magic have really struggled. But this team was really good at one point. I mean, it's not like it felt like some type of blip. Yeah, the Magic weren't beating a lot of really good teams. They still have, I think, only 3 wins against teams that are above 500. But you know, this team didn't sit at 19-13 for no reason. Like they still have that in them. When you pull the camera lens back a little bit, you know, not just focusing on January itself, how do you assess the Magic in their first half of the season?
Well, I mean, I think with our the midseason report card I did, the overwhelming amount of B's kind of told the story, with most of the players playing B seasons, a B grade, to be clear. You know, the team, I give them a B as well. The Magic, they've exceeded all expectations that most people had for them. I know that's a very couched in vague terms kind of statement, but even ESPN projected them to win, what was it, 27 games?
I think they had them at like 27 or 30 games. Yeah, I mean, I think
27.
I don't know how much to believe that panel, and I think the panel was even kind of admitting that it was a little scared and not quite on the money. But
at any rate,
it's hard to see them winning only 7 more games rest this year. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, and not too many people expected them to begin the season 19-13 either.
No,
so,
no. And that shifted our expectations for the final half of the season as well.
It did, and I think we need to keep in mind our initial expectations and then take a step back and say, you know, a couple games under 500 isn't so horrible for a team that was so horrible itself for 3 years straight.
Sure, and I think when I look at the first half of the season, I you know, even in the midst of this losing streak, I do look at it as a relative success. You know, the team has shown strides and shown that they are capable of winning and playing good, really good basketball at a high level for long stretches. Maybe not against the elite competition, but I think we also knew that limitation was already in place with the way the roster was built. That they're still not an elite team. They're kind of a bottom of the playoff ring team, which is what they needed to be and prove that they could be, so that we could kind of get a sense of where they could grow from there. You know, what's disappointed me most has been the inconsistency. You know, Skiles has always made his teams strong defensive teams, and I think we expected the offense to struggle at stretches, and so maybe not this bad, but it certainly was expected that the Magic would have some offensive struggles. What wasn't expected was that the defense would go up and down this much. Essentially, they were a top 10 defensive team for the first quarter of the season, and now, you know, they're one of the worst defensive teams in the league. They're bottom 10 defensive teams in the league. That's a stunning turnaround, and it's not necessarily scheme. It's about, you know, what Skiles and what other players would call second efforts. It's making the block, you know, contesting the shot on one play and getting back to your man to box him out and keep him off the glass on the next. It's coming down to help the helper and then shooting back out to contest the three on the man you left behind. It's those kind of plays that have been a lot more inconsistent, and those are the plays that make or break a defense. And it, you know, one thing I don't think you ever want to question with any basketball team is effort. You can always say, well, the scheme could be a little bit better. They could execute a little bit better, or, you know, he just doesn't quite have the ability. But effort itself, making those little moves, like not being aware or precise enough to recognize and you know, locate the play and make the right play is frustrating. And the fact that we saw early in the season, and I think this is where the real kind of panic at this stage of the season has kind of set in, and where kind of the frustration is that we know that they can do these things and they just aren't. And that's the disappointing part so far right now. And that's the frustrating part at this point right now. It's not the record that anyone's disappointed with. I think people are, you know, not happy that the record is what they are, but if you told me in October that this would be their record, I'd be pretty happy. What's frustrating is that the play seems to be getting worse now as the season goes on, rather than getting better, and it's been decreasingly worse. They started off with really good energy at the beginning of the season, started tailing off in December. It was something that was being warned about throughout December, even while they were winning. And now in January, it seems to have bottomed out a little bit, and they're searching for a style of play that they've already attained, essentially.
You remember earlier in the season when we were talking about what had changed from last year, mm-hmm. and I kept pointing to accountability.
Yes.
Players were holding each other accountable earlier in the season, and that's already started to fade and disappear. You don't see as much communication on the court anymore. Guys slapping one another on the ass and saying, you know, step up, try harder next time down the court. It doesn't seem like that same level of accountability is there anymore. And I don't know what happened to it, how that just, you know, dissipated in the course of half a season. But there needs to be more communication and more yelling at one another. And some of those things, you can't even necessarily read the lips or know exactly what they're saying, but you can see it on their face. They're saying, hey, step up. Let's do this together. It's gone. The cooperation is gone.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It's interesting you characterize it like that, and it's hard to tell. It really is hard to tell. It's not something that we can quite put a complete finger on. You know, the players say they're talking about these things behind closed doors and saying the right things, and they're saying the right things to the media at least, but we're not seeing action, mm-hmm. and it takes action. And, you know, you can say all the right things you want, but if you can't make the play, you can't make the play. And you know, with some of the injuries the Magic have had, and they've had injuries to key guys, you know, I really think they are missing C.J. Watson, as much as he's been a little ridiculed, you know, for being out for so long with the calf strain or whatever the actual injury is. Mm-hmm. They really miss him because he's a very calming presence. He can shoot the three. You look at the plus-minus numbers with him on the floor. The Magic were playing really well with C.J. Watson on the floor. You know, whether Elfrid Payton's 100% and ready to play defensively, you know, his defense has really been bad since he got hurt the first time, since he sprained his ankle. He's letting point guards in, and it's really just those basic things. It's not anything complex within the scheme. It's really basic things of keep your man in front of you, be aggressive, you know, force the offensive player to do what you want him to do rather than what he wants to do, and trust that your teammates behind you will help you out. And that trust doesn't quite seem to be there. And that's been the more concerning part for me, at least while I'm watching this team.
You know, you and I know that losing a player like C.J. Watson can absolutely have an effect. But I don't know that everybody does. A lot of people hear you say, if C.J. Watson's been out, their answer is, so what, you know? But no, they've absolutely missed C.J. Watson. But that highlights another aspect of the team when you're talking about losing your backup point guard and being that bad off. The Magic need more depth at guard. They need some more shooters. And the fact that C.J. Watson was counted on to be both a backup guard and a shooter is another, you know, it's taking another vital cog out of the machine. But that just, to me, it shows more of a deficiency in the Magic when you lose one rotation player and it shoots you that hard, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, like, at the same time, though, like, yeah, we say that, and I think it's all theoretical, and I think we could see how much he'd help in this moment. But at the same time, you know, I don't think it's absolutely crushing. I don't think it's something that they can't recover from, because they've played well without him, but you know, this season.
Right.
I think he was out of the lineup, or his last game that he played was before the Magic made this lineup change, made the big lineup change with sending Victor Oladipo to the bench. So I agree with the idea of that, and I agree that right now it feels like they really could use C.J. Watson, but just like everything else with this team, they've shown they can play without him. They've shown they can play better, play like a different team. I mean, they had the best record in the Eastern Conference, at least, in the month of December. They had the third best record in the league, if I'm not mistaken, in December. They were legitimately playing really, really, really well and putting themselves firmly in the playoff spot, and all of a sudden the calendar turned and the light switched off.
Right.
I mean, it certainly was coming. Like, it wasn't like no one saw this coming. Skiles was warning about it. I was telling people, and you know, people were like, relax, we're winning. And it's just like the process isn't there. It's not, they're not doing things that will sustainably keep them winning, because this isn't a team that's going to shoot as well as they did, coming down the stretch, in mid-December like they were. We knew that, and that's kind of what's happened now. The offense has cratered, and the defense hasn't picked up the slack. And at times, even the offense affects the defense, and that's a problem.
Well, it's part of, you know, you talked so much last year and even into early this year about having an identity.
Yep.
And the Magic had begun to establish one of a team that plays really pestering defense that creates offense through its defense. With the defense having gone to pot, the offense isn't being created from it anymore. And, you know, the last night against the Hornets, the Magic had zero fast break points in the first half. None. I don't know how many they got in the second half. It wasn't many.
Ended up with 8, I believe.
Okay, so eight in the second half, none in the first half. This is a team that can benefit from playing at a fast pace and forcing the other team into silly errors. And instead, the Magic were the ones making them in the half court. 19 turnovers, 9 of which came in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
You're not going to win a lot of games when you're turning the ball over almost 20 times, never mind when half of those are in the last quarter. So, you know, those are just – they're missing the mark by so much in those couple areas – that it's like to simply diagnose it as, oh, we need C.J. Watson back, or Elfrid Payton needs to play tougher defense, when you know what kind of ball Kemba Walker's playing lately. I don't envy Skiles at all right now, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and he's been left with some difficult decisions. I thought the first lineup choice was a very difficult decision, because Oladipo does a lot of good things, and to move him to the bench had to be a difficult decision, and had consequences, obviously, and it worked out. It balanced the lineup well. What do you think of the current lineup change? We finally saw Aaron Gordon get into the starting lineup. We suspected that he would at some point in the season, probably maybe even about this time of the season, that he'd be ready to jump into the starting lineup. What did you think of the decision to bring Gordon into the lineup and to take Fournier out of the lineup in favor of Oladipo at this point? Is that gonna, you know, it obviously gave them a little bit of a jolt Friday, but is that gonna be sustainable? Can this lineup work?
I think it can, you know, and I've been on the start of Aaron Gordon train for quite some time. When we wrote it over the summer, if you remember, two or three of our seven staffers picked Gordon. I didn't. I picked Edmund for that fifth starter. But, you know, Aaron Gordon has earned a starting role at this point with his play and his hustle. How good is he going to be? None of us know that yet. You know, we already do know what Victor Oladipo is, and both of them are athletes. So getting them into the starting lineup is not a bad move in any sense of the imagination. I do worry about the second unit now, though. It's Fournier's not at his best when he has to be such a playmaker, and Oladipo's energy was really helping off the bench. But at this point, something else had to be tried. We were all on that page. The Magic had lost 8 out of 9 games, and now 9 out of 10. And without making some changes, that's the way coaches end up out of jobs. And Scott Skiles is making changes and trying everything he can, because you can't just give up on the season and say, oh, well, I guess we're out of it now, guys. We're 2 games below 500. They're still right in the thick of this.
Yeah,
turn it around. Yeah, turn it around. And the schedule gets a little easier here coming up. Memphis isn't playing. Well, for the very near immediate future, Memphis isn't playing fantastic. Milwaukee's horrible, and Boston is a fair matchup for us playing back to back nights.
Yeah.
After that, February gets brutal.
Yeah.
But you know, these next four games, the Magic should try to walk away with 3 wins, and then maybe get back on track.
Well, as Scott Skiles said, they need a win more than anything else at this point.
Yeah.
You know, so I think the whole focus should be on let's go get Monday, and then we'll worry about Tuesday. You know, if they can split the next four games, you know, the boat will be steadied. Because the Eastern Conference, frankly, has kind of sunk with the Magic a little bit. They've fallen out of the playoff pole position. But you know, they're 2 games back of the 8th seed, so they're not out of it by any means. And you know, even with losing 9 of 10 games, they're still in the conversation, which is what we all wanted and what we expected from this season anyway. You know, I think the lineup change was probably the right one. I thought Gordon definitely should be in the lineup. You know, people probably know me as a little bit of a Channing Frye defender. And that's only because when you look at the numbers, you see how valuable he is to this team. He does spread the floor. There is a measurable effect to what he does. The only problem is he is completely ineffective when everyone else is playing like they have been this month. He needs the players around him to play well and set him up and to take advantage of what he does. Other players have to play. Everyone has to play well. And so when the ball's not moving like it has been for the last 3 weeks, yeah, Frye's going to be really ineffective. And so I think moving him out of the starting lineup at this point is the right decision. I thought it might have been possible to start. I thought Aaron needed to be in the lineup no matter how you put him in there. I was toying a little bit with the idea of moving Tobias to the bench, letting him kind of take over that ball control role that Oladipo was looking for, and then bringing Oladipo back in to get good balance between the two units. But again, Oladipo and Fournier have been measurably the Magic's two best players in January, and it makes sense to get them in the starting lineup. Start with your best foot, start with a lead, and you know, kind of work the rotation to make sure there's balance. To make sure, you know, either a Tobias Harris is playing with the second unit, so you have a creator, or Oladipo is playing with the second unit, or Peyton's playing with the second unit, because you can bring Oladipo into the point guard position and have Fournier in there. I thought it might even have been possible to start Oladipo over Peyton with the way Peyton's played lately, because the Oladipo, Fournier, Harris, Gordon, Vucevic lineup has actually been very successful this year if you look at the numbers, and even during this month it's been one of the more successful lineups. So you know, I think ultimately they made a decision that was about bringing energy and kind of setting a tone defensively. Oladipo and Gordon are the two best individual defenders. I don't think we got to see a whole ton of that because Gordon picked up early foul trouble on Friday. But I think it was the right move, and I think through one game it proved to work out. And I think that's a good sign. I think that's ultimately a step in the right direction. But again, like you said, it's not a choice I envy Skiles over, and it wouldn't surprise me if he has to make another lineup change again at some point down the road, which I think is a scary statement to have and says a lot about where this team is at and in the rebuild and what's on the roster.
Yeah, and I really shouldn't have looked at the schedule a few minutes ago because February is just
your health.
Oh man, this is bad. I already knew it was, but just looking at it again makes it even more evident. Oh man. So I hope, you know, that when I come back from Florida on the 25th and come back to Kentucky after that Golden State game, that there's much left of this season.
Yeah,
awful thought.
That February stretch, especially before the All-Star break, is going to tell us what direction we go in the rest of the season. To be frank, whether the playoffs are still a realistic goal or whether it's time to, you know, definitely start Aaron or give Mario a few more minutes, give him a longer leash, which I think they need to do anyway. I don't think they're letting Mario play. He's thinking out there a little too much, but
February they played nothing but contenders through the first half of the month.
Yeah, it's a challenging time for the Magic right now in every way. It really is a challenging time, and they've got to figure it out. I don't think it's necessarily something that's up to the coaching staff or up to anyone else but the players. The players have got to figure this out, and that's That's tough to do. That's tough to ask us them to do, because it's hard for us to break that down and otherwise and say they got to figure it out. I mean,
no, and they don't have all data. They don't have all data to sit around and watch film and practice every single day. And making these midseason adjustments is probably every bit as hard as it looks to us, you know, to come in and say, well, this isn't working. Let's try this tonight and do that for 82 games. That's a lot, you know, and to take a step back and actually look at how this all happened. It won't maybe happen until the offseason that the Magic can say, okay, well, here's the tinkering we're going to have to do to make this a better basketball team. In season, adjusting on the fly is not an easy thing to do.
Yeah, it is. And so I think that's a good stage to look ahead to the second half of the season. I think we've looked pretty intensely at up and down first half. But the second half of the season, you know, aside from the basic let's make the playoffs, what do you want to see from the Magic? What constitutes a successful second half of the season outside of winning more games? So what factor is going to win them more games from now until the end of April?
You know, with a young team like this, if we're going to talk aside from wins and losses, what I'd like to see is these guys to start working on some of their weaknesses. Because that a lot of these guys are going to be back next year, and a lot of those guys the year after that. And until these players, they're all young players, start working on their weaknesses and getting good at things they're not typically very good at doing, they're going to remain exactly where they're at. And, you know, what I was saying in Victor Oladipo's report card, he's basically got even better at doing the things he was already good at and not at all improved in the areas where he was weak. And that's kind of a harsh criticism to lay on him, but it's
fair though.
It's fair, and it has to apply team wide. For Elfrid Payton, it means he has to continue to shoot shots he's not comfortable shooting until he is comfortable shooting them. Aaron Gordon, it means not picking up silly fouls and charging people down on out of control fast breaks. One cut down this little mistake and that little mistake team wide on a team wide basis. You know, every player improving a little bit. Eventually, that results in wins.
Yeah, it sounds like you're more saying players need to play within themselves more.
Yeah,
rather than play in a way that kind of accentuates their weaknesses. Because I think we're seeing right now Victor Oladipo come kind of regress back to his mean after he struggled to start the season, and he's not going to all of a sudden though start going to the line 6, 7, 8 times. For 6, 7, 8 free throws per game. That's not going to happen all of a sudden. He's not going to suddenly shoot 60% at the rim and make every shot he shoots at the rim. That's not what, you know, you don't go from 48% to start the season to league average like 56, 57%. That's not going to happen. He's going to be a below average shooter at the rim, but he will get better, obviously. He will regress to his mean a little bit. I'm not expecting Elfrid Payton to dramatically improve his shot. I just, like you said, I want him to continue feeling confident enough to take the shots when they're presented to him. That's just the place to start, though. I think saying that a player needs to play within himself and within what he can do and what he can contribute to the team is the right thing to do. It's not a time to play hero ball like we talked about earlier. It's a time to just do what you can do to help the team. And it can be a little bit frustrating because you feel a little boxed in and you know you can do more. But that time will come and you've got to kind of prove it in practice first. You got to work on it during the summer, prove it in practice, and then you can bring it to a game. And, you know, right now is not the time to be trying new things. Now's the time to reinforce what you're good at and do that. Do that really well for your team.
That's about it, yeah. I guess we're kind of on the same page. When you take wins and losses out of it, you start actually seeing the nuts and bolts for what they're for. And, you know, making tangible improvements this year that the Magic can say, when the season's over, say, you know, we gave our best effort for 82 games and we'll retool and come back and do this again next year, rather than walking away with the attitude of, oh, man, we started out the season so good. What happened to us, you know?
Yeah. And to me, that's what I want to see more in the second half of the season. I want to see consistency. I talked about it a lot at the beginning of the season, that the team was just inconsistent. You didn't know what you were going to get from them every single night. We need to see consistency. That's what I think we saw in December. We saw a team that was confident. We saw a team that knew how it wanted to play and did it and executed it well. And we saw a team that could improvise a little bit too within the system. Right now we're seeing a team that's pressing, that's not quite sure what it's supposed to be doing, gives inconsistent effort, and all that. And that's a losing team. And, you know, we say this all outside winning and losing, but if you do those things, if you play within yourself, if you play with consistent effort, you will win games. I mean, this team is too talented and too good not to. They've shown that already again. And so the second half of the season needs to be kind of a return to a mindset of, let me just help my team today. I'm not going to worry about me. I'm going to worry about us. And if I do these things that coach wants me to do, that the system calls for me to do, and we all do it collectively, we will win games. And that's kind of the attitude they need to get back to if they're going to come out of this funk and stay in the playoff hunt.
Yeah, I guess that sums it up. I was just looking back over the schedule again and remembering that West Coast trip we had in early December where they won against Minnesota, Utah, and Denver, losing to the Clippers and the Suns. And, you know, we finished that trip, the Magic were 12-10 at that point. And that to get back to that kind of basketball would be nice. But so many little things have gone wrong that they almost have to be addressed on an issue-by-issue basis, because you can't tackle a whole mess of things all at one time and fix them all.
You got to start with the simplest issue first.
Defensive rotations.
And I think that's you know, defensive effort and focus and intensity. Mm-hmm. And you go from there. I think that's got to be the focus right now. I mean, I don't think there's another way to say it. That's what you got to do. Before we close out tonight, because we've been going now for a little bit. What do you want to see from certain individual players? I want to hit the hot button players, that we're looking at and watching this year. Victor Oladipo had a very up and down first half of the year. He seems to have kind of found the play that had us talking about him potentially being an all-star at the end of last season. What do you want to see from Victor Oladipo and you know, what can he still accomplish this season for him and for his team?
You know, real simple, I think the thing Victor Oladipo could do more of is what he did last night, clutch stuff. Mm-hmm. Banking in the three that pushes the game to overtime, coming up with that steal that gave him the only lead of overtime. I want to see Oladipo seize those moments late in games, because there's nobody on the Magic roster who consistently steps up late in the game and tries to take over. And he might be the only one who's capable of doing it. Vucevic needs to be fed the ball. Victor Oladipo can already have the ball in his hands at the top of the arc and make things start. And the Magic's best play, still, I think, when we all came down and choose, what do we do if we need a bucket right now? It's an Oladipo, Vucevic pick and roll.
Yeah.
So I want the Magic to work on that play, Vucevic and Oladipo at the high pick and roll. Oladipo to embrace closing games and become a star on a team that doesn't have one, basically.
Yeah, I agree with that. I would add that, you know, I kind of want to see, I think we need to see Victor Oladipo become the leader of this team, and I think he's taken steps, at least talking to the media, maybe not necessarily out beyond that. We don't know, obviously, but I want to see him become a leader on the floor and in the locker room. I want to see him take that ownership, like you said, to take over games, to be the guy that sets the tone defensively, sets the tone for how the team needs to play in a lot of ways. I still think he is the Magic's best shot at an all-star in the future that's currently on the roster. Vucevic puts up nice numbers, but until he improves his defense, I don't know if he's going to be an all-star anytime soon. He certainly could. I'm not saying he couldn't.
He's forever going to be on the cusp, I think.
He's definitely on the list, and he's the closest player the Magic have currently on the roster as far as for this year's All-Star team to make the All-Star game, but he's obviously not there yet. I think Oladipo has the talent to be really special. You know, maybe not that superstar type guy, but certainly a very, very good player, and it was disappointing, and it was really disappointing to see him struggle the way he did at the beginning of the season because expectations and hopes were so high for him. He's starting to kind of bring that back. The question is, can you win with him playing the way he's playing? That's a question that needs to be answered too. So, you know, I want to see him come to the forefront and see him continue to kind of take charge and mature like he has for the last 2 weeks almost now, 2-3 weeks now, considering the injury. So I'm really watching him closely this second half of the season because, again, the Magic have a decision to make. And I don't think they can keep both Fournier and Oladipo long term. They may sign Fournier this summer, but to me that's a signal that they're thinking of moving on from Oladipo because they have Hezonja waiting in the wings. A decision has to be made and it needs to present itself and become clearer maybe, but Oladipo's potential and talent undoubtedly are there, and it's just about how do you use that effectively and how does Oladipo, you know, impress himself onto a game effectively.
Right.
The next guy I want to ask you about is a guy that I get asked a lot about, Mario Hezonja, his rookie year. He's obviously a guy a lot of people were really high on and had a lot of high expectations for. How do you assess how he's played this so far this season in his rookie year, and what do you want to see from him during the second half?
I think he's done a decent job given the amount of minutes he's got. You know, he hasn't played it. Overwhelming amount of minutes to where he's going to establish complete comfort being on the court. He's been aggressive on both ends of the court at times, you know. Defensively, it's a little surprising he's not quicker laterally than he is. He's not that fast moving side to side, which is surprising because up and down speed, he has an abundance of it going up and down the court. So that'd be one thing for him to work on defensively, is not letting guys get around him on the baselines and such. But, you know, for a player that's as talented as he is and that's been playing at a high level of basketball since he was a kid, basically, you know, I think it's really just a matter of him adjusting to the NBA and given his time to do so. Magic fans might not be real pleased watching the way Towns is playing and Porzingis and even D'Angelo Russell, three of the guys taken ahead of him in Okafor. Well, there was a fall off to the number five guy averaging 4 points a game, but I don't think that's fair.
They're getting a ton more minutes than he is, too.
That's what I say. I don't think that's fair. You know, Hezonja's been playing at the Magic's most talented position, shooting guard and small forward. He has three really good veterans in front of him. So he's not going to just, you know, he's done okay with the minutes he's had, to sum it up, basically. And what I want to see from him is maybe just more of what he's done, get more playing time. The sample size based on his minutes is too small to say here's his weaknesses other than the lateral foot speed that I already mentioned, you know?
Yeah, essentially, like, his own, like, I've gotten this a lot, and that's why I wanted to bring it up. People want more from Hezonja. They want him to contribute immediately. The Magic didn't draft him to be a major contributor this year. They didn't expect him to average 10, 12 points per game off the bench. I think he has produced, you know, maybe a notch below where they expected, but essentially he's producing what the team expected him to produce this year. He comes in, he makes a jumper occasionally, displays some athleticism, is learning kind of the speed of the game and the NBA game in a lot of ways. He still forces his way in a little too much. He gets lost on defensive rotations. And, you know, while the team wants to win, it's tough to have him out there because you don't trust him to make the right decisions. And offensively right now, frankly, he's not giving you what you need offensively to keep him in there. And that's, again, making three-pointers. He hasn't made 3-pointers at a good rate this year, especially in January. Mm-hmm. He's turning the ball over a lot. He's kind of forcing things. He's thinking a little bit too much out there. So, I've seen plenty of flashes. I do think he's still going to be a good player. If you're giving up on him after half a season like this, frankly, you're expecting too much out of him. He's going to be a lot better next year than he was this year. I think he will have a great summer league. He'll know what he needs to improve on. You know, physically, he still needs to improve his body a lot. The defense, I think, will also improve as he has more understanding of what they're trying to do. But while the team's trying to win, it's tough to have him out there for very long. I do think the Magic need to lengthen his leash a little bit, let him play a little bit more, maybe make a few more mistakes. But they can't let him make the same mistake over and over again without sitting him down and, you know, letting him learn by watching sometimes and kind of just understand what they're trying to do. Frankly, the Magic are trying to win, and that goes above everything else. And if he can't help them win better than the guy next to him, he shouldn't be playing. And I think Hezonja would agree on that too. And it can be frustrating, I know, with all the other rookies playing so well, but you don't draft rookies for their rookie year. You draft them for their careers. And you can't judge Hezonja based on one year or half a season of how he's playing and how Skiles is using him. He's going to be fine. The guy takes coaching really well. He's a really smart player. His passing is as good as anyone else's on the team. He's going to be a valuable player for this team next year. I have no doubt of that. If he continues to show some of the same struggles next year, then we can talk about him, you know, potentially not being what the Magic thought he was. But he's going to be a very, very good player. I don't know if he'll be a superstar. I don't think he'll be a superstar. But he will be a good player and will be someone who can contribute to this team in the long term. You know, teams will ask about him probably more than anyone else when it comes to trade deadline season. They may even insist on acquiring him. And the Magic will probably not give him up unless it's someone they really, really, really want. Like, I think that's how much they value him. And I'll probably put together a trade value column, you know, a la Bill Simmons in a couple weeks here. And trust me, Hezonja will be ranked very high on that trade value column.
Yeah.
I can guarantee that.
Well, that was a good piece you did last year, so I'm glad you're repeating that one.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we've been going on here for a little while, Brett. Is there anything else you want to talk about the first half of the season before we close shop here?
No, you know, I think this season has been a really interesting roller coaster ride already, and I'm not ready to write off the playoffs yet. I'm also not ready to schedule my ticket to fly down there in April. I really don't know what's going to happen, and it's exciting that there's even something to watch for, because last year we were always looking for the silver linings. At least this year there are some real silver linings. We're not just rummaging through a heap and saying, oh, well, so-and-so had a good game tonight, but the team's 24-60 right now, you know? That's more games than 82, but any point, you get my point.
I think that's, yeah, that's been the biggest sign of growth and the biggest thing that we can say has been accomplished this year. There are no silver linings. If you try and bring up moral victories to the guys, they don't accept them.
Mm-hmm.
They say, you know, it doesn't matter, we lost the game. That's important. That's an important step. And
yep,
the team is getting to a point where they are winning these games. And they aren't right now, obviously, but they've been there. And, you know, it feels like they can still be there. And certainly they can get back there. And, you know, I'll close it up with this thought. You know, this team in a lot of ways is similar to those late 90s, early 2000s teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of my baseline for comparing this, because, you know, frankly, that was the last time the Magic were a, you know, quote unquote, you know, what I call a mediocre team, like an end of the playoff team, 500 mm-hmm. team. Those teams went through stretches where they tore everyone up and they played incredibly well and looked like world beaters, that, you know, they could take down the Pistons in the first round. That they played like that in stretches, and then they'd go through stretches like this where they lost a lot of games in a row, or, you know, in stretches, and they plummet down the standings. They bounce back, start winning games again, climb back up. You know, that's yeah, the life of a team trying to scratch their way into the playoffs. And so the thing that I foresee happening in the second half of the season, what I foresee happening is the Magic will come out of this. They'll start winning games again. They'll stay in the conversation. They'll accomplish that goal of staying in the conversation. The question that this team needs to answer is, can they snap out of this spell before it's too late, before the hole is too deep and they can't quite pull together enough wins to get into the playoffs themselves? That's the question. And that's why I thought Wednesday's game against Philadelphia and Thursday and Friday's game against Charlotte were so important, because those were good opportunities to start climbing your way out. And with February coming up and with March coming up, if they wait too much longer, it will be too late. And I think that's what I see in the second half of the season will be the big question. Can they get themselves out of this? Can they right the ship? Can they get back to playing like they did through much of December and get themselves into the playoffs? You know, it won't be a failure if they don't. The players should certainly view it as a failure if they don't. The coaches should certainly view it as a failure. I would not view it as a failure if they don't make the playoffs. I would view it as a failure if they don't find a way to right the ship and find a way to play with that intensity that they played with in November and December that seems to be missing right now.
Yeah, I think that sums it up. You know, and just looking at March here and all the road games that are in March, They don't have their work is absolutely cut out for them the rest of the year. This is not going to be easy, but we'll find out what the Magic are made of, won't we?
Yeah, we absolutely will, and you know that's why they play the games. We don't know what's going to happen.
No,
you know they could swing a trade that gets them that star that they're looking for. They could crater out and end up with 25 wins again and be a complete disappointment and leave a lot of questions for us to answer. They could fall somewhere in the middle, win about 35 games like I expected, at least that some of us expected, and have a season that was a show of progress, but also a sign of what they need to continue working on.
I think that median 35 wins is our most likely outcome.
Yeah.
But to see it go in either extreme would not be completely out of the realm of possibility. So we'll see.
Yeah, we will see, and we'll be here to chronicle it here on Orlando Magic Daily. Brett, thanks for checking in here at the midpoint of the season. It was good to chat with you again on the podcast. Hopefully, we'll be talking next time at maybe the three-quarter poll or down by the trade deadline with some happier tidings.
It could be a great trade deadline. We never know.
Yeah, it'll be trade deadline's gonna be interesting. The market is I think been very intriguing to this point. It's obviously gonna heat up more before the February 19th trade deadline. So Brett, thanks again for joining me. This is for Brett Roberts. This has been Philip Rossman Reich of Orlando Magic Daily. Thank you guys for listening to the Orlando Magic Daily podcast. We will catch you next time.
See you later, people.